Hey guys, for our 99th episode, we have a very special presentation. It's Great Debates Jr. Now, I wasn't able to be there for the recording of this episode, but I wanted to introduce it because it's maybe my new favorite in the Great Debates catalog. Now, after this, we're going to take a break for a few weeks and then come back to you with our 100th episode and beyond. So with that, I hope you enjoy Great Debates Jr., and we'll see you in a few weeks.
Hey guys, it's the Great Debates Podcast. That was my Medina impression. How was that? We don't have Medina here today, so this is Steve Healy. I'm going to be moderating a Great Debates Junior.
What does that mean?
Well, we have special guests here. You guys want to introduce yourselves?
Hello, I'm Ben.
I'm Kate.
We have Ben and Kate here, and they are how old, guys?
I'm 11.
And I'm 8.
11 and 8, and they're going to do some junior debating, and I've got a topic. We can jump right into it.
Yeah.
Okay, so Dave is going to be taking the con here, and Ben and Kate are going to be taking the pro. I'm going to put 4 minutes on the clock, and the topic is dogs should be allowed on beaches.
Well, I think that they should be allowed on beaches, because, you know, all animals were here first before we were. And we can't really just say, now you're not allowed on this beach. So that's kind of what I think. Ben?
Well, I think that as long as they're not hostile, or if they're very mellow, they're nice, they're good to children or whatever, they don't bite, I think it should be allowed that dogs should be allowed on beaches.
Well, that's a lot of ifs, Ben. I mean, you know, I know a lot of dogs who aren't so, who can be pretty hostile towards children. And the problem is that, yes, maybe Kate, as you said, the animals were here before us, but it's people who have made beaches a place where you can go and put out a blanket. I don't see dogs bringing blankets to the beach. You know, maybe they can run around and stuff, but I'm a person. I don't like going to the beach and having a dog running around and getting sand in my sandwich. You know, I like going to the beach and being able to relax without worrying. I'm not a dog guy. I'm not a big dog guy, at least. If I see a big dog at the beach, suddenly my whole day is ruined. What do you say to that? Shouldn't I have rights as a beach-going human?
Well, the thing is, I mean, what if you were a dog? I mean, I don't want these people telling me to shoo, get away from the water, because my child is in there playing. I mean, what if you were a dog?
Well, it's an interesting point. I mean, maybe though, Kate, if we use that logic, should we even be having dogs as pets? I mean, I think you'd be pretty happy if you had a dog as a pet. But if I were a dog, I would say, hey, I don't want to be just a guy sitting around a house waiting for Kate to feed me some food. This isn't fair. So I think we have to say that dogs have a different place in society than people do. And one of those rules is they shouldn't be allowed on beaches.
Well, if you're a dog.
Yeah, if you're a dog.
No, hold on.
Yeah.
Kate, one.
Let me ask you this. Do you think it's fun to have a dog at the beach?
Sometimes it is.
How? I mean, I think if you have a dog at the beach, he's going to make a mess. He's going to run in the ocean. He's going to get you wet. What's the most fun you can have with a dog at the beach? I think it's more negative than positive. That's what I think.
Well, I mean, you could, like, play frisbee with them in the water.
Okay, interesting.
I don't know, it's just...
Well, I think that dogs should maybe have some sort of test or a screening process to be, like, a license to go onto the beach.
Well, Ben, it's a great... Sure, I'd love to regulate which dogs can be on beaches, but what are you going to put on the test? Is it you can only be a certain size, or you have to be a certain, you know, you can never have bitten a human? What are you proposing?
I mean, you're the owner. You take your dog to, you know, your nearest vet or something. They have this screening or this test, and they put the dog through a series of, you know, tasks to see.
Interesting.
Like if they will bite the human or whatever. Okay. If, you know.
This sounds like a lot of red tape to jump through. I'm a little worried about that. I like, now here's what I'd say to that, is that if you're already admitting that only some dogs should be allowed at the beach, I say to that, you know, different people are going to have different ideas about which dogs should be allowed. So you might say, well, okay, only dogs that are like 15 pounds or smaller. But someone else might say, I don't like any dogs on the beach. Why? It seems to me like if we're saying some dogs shouldn't be allowed on the beach, it should be, oh
the timer's
that's
out.
The timer, guys.
Oh.
I'm afraid, well, that's the wait, end
can
of
I,
the
can I just say something?
Yeah. Please.
I've actually found that bigger dogs are usually not as yippy and as bothering as smaller dogs.
Interesting. You think they're a little more well-behaved?
Sometimes.
Like the smaller dogs are the ones that like bark a lot and are kind of annoying.
Found big dogs are usually more mellow than some of the smaller, like chihuahuas and some of those really small dogs.
Maybe we're being prejudiced against big dogs. I think I need to reframe my whole canine philosophy. Healy, what did you think?
Well, Dave, I think that you left a pretty strong argument on the table. I didn't hear anything about poop. And I think that really, you can't win the debate about dogs on the beach if you're not going to bring up dog poop. I think Ben and Kate, their strongest argument was, what if you were a dog? So I think I'm going to give this one to Ben and Kate.
I think you're right. I think that's only fair. And a round of applause from the peanut gallery. And I guess that kind of brings us into host chat. Now, I think we should fully disclose that, just for our future debates, that just so that everyone is aware of any potential biases, Ben and Kate are my kin. They are relatives of mine. Ben and Kate are my nephew and niece. So I just think we need to put that out there in case any of our listeners think that there's some...
Oops. See, I didn't know that. I thought they were just some kids you'd found.
You thought some kids just wandered into my house, yeah. And we debated against them. Now, Ben and Kate, you guys were just in... We're in a host chat now. You guys were just in Hawaii, is that right?
Yeah.
Yes, we were just on... We were on the Big Island for 6 days, and then we went to Maui for 6 days.
That's amazing. And now, you guys came up with this topic. Were there dogs... What was the beach dog situation on Hawaii there?
You see, I don't think dogs are as popular in Hawaii for some reason, because we were at maybe 5-10 beaches when we were there. I did not see... Maybe saw 3 dogs in total.
Interesting.
At the beaches there.
And did you like that more? Did you miss the dogs? Or did you think... Go ahead, Kate.
Well, I don't know. I didn't really feel either way about it. Because, like, if you don't have a dog at the beach, like, if it's not your own, then there's really nothing fun about it.
Right, right. You got to have your own dog at the beach. Why do you think there are fewer dogs on the beaches there? I have a theory. Tell me what you think. I think it's that more people there are on vacation, and so they don't have their dogs with them. Does that make sense?
I think you're right on that, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
Well, there's a lot of locals there, too. I mean, just could be not the pet to have in Hawaii, I mean.
Did you guys hear when you were in Hawaii an expression or a Hawaiian word? I've heard this, the word pono. Like, you're supposed to be pono when you're in Hawaii. Like, it means, like, be a good guest, be respectful.
Well, the thing I heard more is, like, practice aloha, which
same.
Is, like...
Yeah. I think if dogs should probably be allowed, provided they practice aloha, provided they're being pono. That's sort of what you guys were getting to in your argument.
Interesting. So maybe if we could somehow regulate for... canine pono.
Pono too.
They should be allowed on the beach. I bet my guess is that like your average dog in Hawaii does have or is more pono than your average mainland dog, because you got more wildlife. It's just you're picking up on the vibes of the people. You're hanging loose, right? Everything there is just a little more relaxed.
Those dogs are probably a lot more chill.
Yeah, more chill dogs. Hawaii, home of the chill dogs.
Also, I feel like I've seen like things on TV about dogs in Hawaii who like to surf. I thought
yes,
that.
Yes. Very much so. You see, that's like the sort of last segment on the news where they put a dog on a surfboard. Always in Hawaii.
Interesting. Well, guys, we are deep in host chat, and I have a presidential challenge for you, if you're willing to take it on. Co-presidents Ben and Kate can take on a presidential challenge. Are you guys ready for that?
I'm ready.
Okay, guys. You guys are the president of the United States, and the Los Angeles Dodgers win the World Series. And you invite them, as is, you know, presidential tradition, you invite them to the White House. But the star catcher of the Dodgers, Mike Puccini, he says that he won't come to the White House. And he gives a statement saying he thinks taxes are too high, taxes on rich people such as himself. He doesn't like your policies about gun control. And he's not coming. Wow. How do you handle that one?
Well, I think the right thing to do is maybe we can convince him somehow, or maybe it's his problem that he doesn't want to come, because maybe it's the way of his thinking. Maybe everybody else thinks that the laws on taxes and gun control are good, but maybe he doesn't, or maybe not. I don't know.
Okay, we have his agent on the phone, and his agent says that he wants you, the president's, President Ben and Kate, to come to his house and give him whatever and celebrate him there. Do you think you should do that? He lives close by. He lives in Annandale, Maryland. It's close to Washington, D.C.
Well, not really, because then what about the rest of the team? I mean, would they come too?
No. Guys, this is Mike Puccini. He's a big star. He's the star catcher on the Dodgers.
I don't even know who Mike Puccini is.
Yeah. It's possible that he doesn't exist. Healy, is that true?
Well, in this universe.
In this universe, Mike Puccini is a big star.
Interesting. In this universe, we have an 8 and 11-year-old co-president.
Okay. We have a new... Okay. His agent is still on the phone. He has a new agreement in place. Here's what he says. He'll come to the White House, but he wants to sleep in the president's bed. He wants the president's bed for one night, and the presidents have to sleep in the guest house.
Well, you know what? I think I could probably deal with that, because he would be with his team. They would be having a good time as a team, you know, having a good dinner party, whatever.
Right?
I think I could deal with sleeping in the president's guest room for, you know, one night or so.
It's very big of you.
I don't know. That seems kind of personal to sleep in the president's bed and have the president move to their guest house.
I mean, this is Mike Puccini we're talking about.
This is
a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Yeah. I think what we're witnessing is one of the inherent problems of having two presidents instead of one. Possible.
He could sleep in one of your beds.
Right. It's interesting. It sounds like what I'm hearing is Ben's going to sleep. President Ben will sleep in the guest house. President Kate will stay there. I don't know. This doesn't seem like a good solution at all. I don't think Mike Puccini should get to go.
No, I just think that he should deal with his own problems of not wanting to come to the White House.
There you go. Yeah.
I mean, who doesn't want to come to the White House?
Yeah, Puccini.
Come on, Mike.
All right. Good challenge. All right, we're up for round two of Great Debates Junior. It's a bit unorthodox, but here's what we're doing this time. We have another debate. We'll call it a micro, maybe 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. Healy, can you run the clock on this? Mm-hmm. Bit of Canadian doubles debates here. The topic, we're going to have Ben and Dave taking the pro, as Ben and Dave are going to be teaming up against a fair foe in Steve Healy, who'll be taking the con. The topic on the table, Turkey is the best luncheon meat. Ben, you want to start it off or you want me to go? Turkey is, I'm Dave King and I'm taking the pro along with my nephew Ben. Turkey is the best luncheon meat. If you want a sandwich, you're going to order a turkey sandwich. Turkey goes with all sorts of condiments. Look at how versatile it is. You could get, starting with like a beautiful turkey sandwich on rye bread with lettuce and tomato, throw some American cheese on there. Classic all-American sandwich. You want to get a little more adventurous? Go ahead. Turkey pastrami, make it a Reuben-style thing. You want to make it a little more, you want to make something special? special. You could have a call it a Thanksgiving sandwich, talking about the chunks of turkey on maybe a, you know, a more rustic whole wheat bread. So many options alone just from turkey. More importantly, the taste of turkey is more, I would say, I don't know if amenable is the word, but you can add so many different flavors to it. Your ham is too salty. I know Healy's going to be a ham guy. It's such a predictable argument. You know, too many of the other meats are too fatty. The cured meats are just not healthy for you. Turkey is the best luncheon meat. Ben, anything to add, or should we hear Healy's rebuttal?
I think you're very right.
Yeah.
Turkey, there's so many combos to go with turkey.
Yes.
It's really versatile, you know?
Yeah.
It's very satisfying, too. When you bite into that turkey sandwich, the thing you're thinking is, wow, man, I wish I could have another turkey sandwich
after
this one.
That's exactly right. Yes.
Okay, I'm Steve Healy. I'm taking the con. Look, I'm not going to take anything away from turkey. I think it's the third best luncheon meat. I think number two is tuna.
Get out of here.
Number one, however, I know Dave thinks he walked me into a ham trap, but he's wrong. Bacon. Bacon is number one, and here's why. A BLT is on its own a delicious lunch sandwich, but bacon with bacon accentuates any other lunch meat sandwich. That's why I think bacon is the strongest lunch meat. I think there's been a real revolution in bacon across the United States. I think turkey is very bland. You're going to have to do something else to that turkey. You're going to have to put mustard on there. You're going to have to put some kind of cheese or something. It can't stand alone. Turkey is a very weak lunch meat. It's the boring, acceptable average answer, but it is not the best lunch meat.
Well, actually,
yes.
You mentioned tuna earlier. Tuna is not actually a meat.
I would agree with this. I think it's
and
a fish.
And when you get a BLT, if you order it at a restaurant, they never put enough bacon in that sandwich. And bacon is the one thing that maybe would make it acceptable.
See, I think that's an argument for me. You want more of that bacon.
Yeah, but I actually think that, Healy, you argued yourself out of even bacon meat qualifying as a luncheon meat. First of all, I think it's a breakfast meat. I don't think it's a luncheon meat. I don't think when people think luncheon meats, they're thinking bacon. I also think that bacon, as you said, is more of an additive to a sandwich with another meat like turkey on it. The argument that turkey needs something like bacon on it is ludicrous. You can make such a delicious sandwich just from, I mean, if you really are desiring taste or something, sure, you could put bacon on a turkey sandwich, but you could also put some delicious pickles. You could put a delicious spread on there, throw an olive tapenade on your bread. I mean, there's so many ways to go. Bacon itself, again, I don't think qualifies as a luncheon meat, and also, it doesn't work. I mean, I know the subject isn't what makes the best sandwich, but as Ben said, there's never enough bacon for a sandwich. And if you were to picture like as much bacon on a sandwich as you put turkey, like six slices of bacon or whatever, I think you'd be kind of grossed out by it. It's too greasy. You're not going to eat as much bacon on its own as you would turkey. What do you say to that, Healy? Oh, he's letting the bell save him. He know he was defeated. He knows it. Healy, or Kate, did you have any opinions?
I don't know. I think turkey is kind of bland if it's not Thanksgiving.
Interesting.
So,
What is it about Thanksgiving turkey that you like? Is it the way it's cooked? Do you think it's the occasion that makes the turkey taste better?
Well, I mean, I think it tastes like a whole different kind of meat almost.
Yeah.
Because, like, it has juice on it and it's cooked a different way and it's just really good.
I think this is a quality of turkey that's overlooked. You could have it that way as a luncheon meat. If you want, there's places where when you order turkey, Healy and I were just in Cleveland. Do you remember this, Healy? Mm-hmm. And I said, I'll have a turkey sandwich. And they said, do you want the sliced turkey or do you want it? And I think they even said Thanksgiving style, like chunks of turkey. And I said, you better believe I want it chunks of turkey style. And it wasn't that good, but I don't think that's really the point.
You know what didn't come up, but I would have liked to have heard about is roast beef. If I'd had a little more time, I could have thrown that in there. I think a good roast beef sandwich, which I believe they claim was invented at Kelly's of Boston, is pretty much the top sandwich going. I mean, turkey is a nice everyday sandwich, but if you can get a roast beef sandwich, you're pretty happy.
Can I jump in for a second?
Yeah.
The problem with roast beef, look, if you're getting a Kelly's roast beef sandwich, sure, that's as delicious as a sandwich can be. Too much roast beef is too well done. There's a consistency problem with roast beef. I like my roast beef as rare as possible. That's delicious to me. But when you order a roast beef sandwich, or even if you just get roast beef like at the supermarket, it's hard to gauge how well done, how cooked, how red or kind of like dark red the meat is going to be. And that's my issue with roast beef. I don't know.
Can I say something?
Please, well, Kate.
I don't really think any meat is the best lunch meat because like bacon and that stuff is too fatty sometimes, and turkey is too bland. I mean,
well, one thing I didn't get to bring up is when I think about bacon, I'm thinking about breakfast. I'm thinking about bacon and eggs, maybe a bagel with some cream cheese, some orange juice. You know?
Yeah, I don't think it's lunch meat. I agree. Kate, I'm noticing a strong equality streak in you. I feel like you want, which I admire. We're putting humans and dogs on the same level. We want all species to be the same. There's no best lunch and meat. I think it's an admirable quality of yours. I think we have time for one more debate. This is going to We're going to really embrace the true spirit of Great Debates Junior. Junior on Junior. Kate versus Ben. Our final topic of the day. Kate will be taking the pro. Let's put 3 minutes on the clock if you don't mind.
I didn't even know I was, but okay.
I think Kate's going to be good at this. I think you know what it is. Okay, ready? The topic up for debate, Pokemon Go is evil. Kate, take it away.
Well, here's the thing about Pokemon Go. I mean, like, you're in this beautiful place and, like, driving through a rainforest with beautiful birds of paradise and stuff. And then you look at your phone and you hear a buzz and you're like, oh my gosh, look, it's a level 500 CP Snorlax or something. And you miss, like, and you totally forget about where you are and the beautiful things you're experiencing in nature.
Well, when you're playing Pokemon Go, you're not completely focused on your phone. It's not like you're completely oblivious to whatever there is to see. It's that sort of a game where you can play it while you're doing something else. You can multitask. It's very easy to multitask when you're playing Pokemon Go.
But Ben, you know, someone walked off a cliff playing Pokemon Go, and someone also discovered a dead body playing Pokemon Go. I mean, what do you say to that? Do you think you can be not focused on your phone enough to walk off a cliff?
Well, Kate, when somebody found that dead body, that was completely random. I mean, just because they were playing Pokemon Go doesn't mean it was Pokemon Go's fault that they found a dead body. And when they walked off a cliff, it does not mean that just because they're playing Pokemon Go means it was their fault. I mean, they were probably just not very bright.
Well, the thing is, you have to look up once in a while or else you might walk off a cliff like that dumb person did. I mean, it's just too absorbing. You're supposed to be looking at the things around you and just experiencing nature.
Well, as a player of the game, I think, as I said earlier, you're not completely absorbed in the game. You have to be very, very absorbed to walk off of a cliff. I mean, really. Your phone takes up about maybe 6 inches of your view. So, I mean, you can still see, I mean, everything around you.
Then I've seen you play this game. You're completely absorbed in your phone. When you're at the dinner table, you're like this.
And for our listeners, Kate is putting her head down on the table.
And you're holding your phone down below it. And right. You are completely absorbed in your phone.
Well, you know what? When you're at dinner, you don't necessarily... You're not walking in any way, so it's not that important that you have your head up or you're not looking at everything completely because you're sitting in a stationary position at the table.
Okay, well, that's not what I was really talking about. I was just saying that you're completely absorbed in your phone when you do that.
And the timer expires. Heated debate. And two siblings. I like that it got personal there. You know, Ben, I think maybe what Kate is saying there is that when you're sitting at the dinner table, it's not that something dangerous might happen, but maybe she just wants some company. Maybe she wants you to pick your head up and talk about...
Yeah, you're never talking to people at the table because you're always absorbed in your phone. That's not true.
Okay.
Well, we maybe that's what you think.
Yeah. Interesting. Boy, Pokemon Go, real phenomenon. Kate, are you playing Pokemon Go at all? No. No. Ben, what level are you on?
I'm level 13.
Not bad.
My highest Pokemon is 777 CP Vaporeon.
What does CP stand for?
I think it stands for combat power.
Okay. Healy, are you playing Pokemon Go at all? What's going on in your house?
I haven't. I caught a Rattata and another early one, and then I sort of gave up on it. I mean, I like the idea of it. I like a game that you sort of looking at the world around you and interacting with imaginary creatures. But
the thing is, you're not looking around you.
Yeah.
You're looking at your phone.
So something that I didn't have time to bring up is, so there are Pokestops within Pokemon Go. When you click or you tap on that Pokestop, you can see what it is at. Say it's a mural on like the wall of a building or something, you still get to see it. And then when you're next to it, you can look up from your phone because you've already, you know, got the Pokestop and you've already got the Pokeballs from the Pokestop. So you can look up at whatever it is.
Now, Ben, as I understand it, like people have been coming out to public parks and exploring new places in their town. Have you been anywhere new hunting Pokemon?
Well, when we were driving around L.A., we were in the Manhattan Beach area yesterday, and I was looking at some Pokestops, and, you know, there's a lot of places that you can't see from just walking around. I mean, if you tap on it, there's a lot of stuff you can't see just from the street, or, you know.
But so you think it enriched your tour of Manhattan Beach?
Yes, definitely.
Then one time, you told me that you found a Pokestop, and it was a painting of a leaf on the floor. Like...
Well, actually, it was a sun imprint on the cement, which I found very cool.
Well, we could go on all day. Guys, I want to thank you for coming into the Great Debate Studios. Yeah. Did you have a good time?
Yeah, I did. Thanks for having us. Had a really good debate.
I had a very fun time.
Nice. Well, I hope this encourages some of our younger listeners to get into the sport of debate. Maybe start some Great Debates Junior clubs in your local area. Maybe contact your 4-H club or whatever. Tell them you want to get it going. Thanks to Steve Healy. Thanks to my nibblings, Ben and Kate. And we'll see you next time on The Great Debates.
Bye.
Bye.
The Great Debates is produced by Mark Caracello. Our audio engineer is Mackenzie Kellerman. The theme song was composed by Christopher Knight. The debaters are Steve Healy and Dave King, and the podcast is moderated by Dan Medina.